Okay, everyone, welcome to the call today. Got a question for you. What is reasonable and what is unreasonable? And to produce the results that you want in your business, do you need to be reasonable or unreasonable?
I hate this question.
I think it's more about boundaries.
It's more about boundaries.
Yeah. Not about what's reasonable or unreasonable so much as what meets your boundaries, you know, maintains your values and what doesn't.
Well, you might say, you know, none of what I'm saying is absolute. It's a way to explore this conversation. But I say your boundaries and your values are very reasonable. I'm not saying they're bad, but they're very reasonable. That is, we have reasons for them. And has anyone read the quote about reasonableness from George Bernard Shaw? I'm going to look it up. Sorry, I don't have it right then. The Reasonable Man. I love it that you can just find quotes in a second.
Thanks, Mom.
These days. The reasonable man adapts himself to the world. The unreasonable one persists in trying to adapt the world to himself. Therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable man. Now, we could talk about that philosophically and break it down and argue with it, whatever. But what I'm talking about is sometimes that when we want to produce a result, we want to communicate with someone, we want to get through to someone, we want to create a program that doesn't have a lot of agreement, we have to step out of our reasonability zone, because our reasonability zone is also called the what zone. You might want to put on your microphone so you can respond immediately instead of
the safe zone.
The comfort zone, yes. See, it's not reasonable that Nancy would call me up when she's in the car and everything's moving. It's like, that's uncomfortable. She just did it anyway. Yeah. It's not a great example, but whatever. So, is it reasonable to stay up at night at 3 o'clock in the morning putting the finishing touches on a sales letter? No, it's not. But that's what I had to do a couple times this past week because the sales letter sucked. And, you know, one of the reasons the sales letter sucked is because I was being too reasonable in how I was writing it. I didn't, you know, it just was too in my head. It was not challenging people enough. It just wasn't very powerful. So the question, hey, there's Carol. We're all here. You know, when you send out I look at myself in here in the mirror and I got two stray hairs here and I go, God damn it. You'd see myself on video. Anyway, so reasonable. So, I totally lost my train of thought with just thinking about two hairs. Isn't that terrible? So, what do you need to be unreasonable about is what I'm getting at. Because, you know, when I talk to clients, and I'm not just talking about you, any clients that I'm talking about at any time, what I come up against is the barrier of reasonableness, the barrier of comfort, the barrier of, you know, I just can't do that. It's too much, whatever. Yeah. And I'm also not talking about, you know, to be successful, you have to stay up every night and work till 3 in the morning. That would be insane. See, insane is a step beyond unreasonableness. You don't have to beat yourself up, but you do have to get past your comfort zone. So, again, the question is, what is your comfort zone? Where do you keep finding that, keep arguing for reasonableness instead of arguing for what's beyond your comfort zone, what's beyond being reasonable? What's beyond being easy? So what is that for you? So I'm not interested in an opinion here. I'm not interested in a philosophical discussion. I'm interested in, for you personally,
yeah,
what is beyond your comfort zone that you know in your heart of hearts, if you're going to produce results, sometimes you've got to go beyond. You can't always live outside of your comfort zone. That would be crazy too. Anyway, Nancy?
Yeah, for me, it's pretty obvious when you're saying it. I know it's in my face. Is that there are times when I could call somebody. Like I could make touch-base calls when I'm on the road or when I'm just when I have about 10 minutes in between things and I just don't feel like it. I don't want to do it when it's not a good time. Good time in quotes. And so, but then there's never a time.
Yeah.
But my reasons are, you know, I have good reasons for not doing it. Like, well, I'm in a hotel room and I'm tired or I'm whatever they are.
Yeah.
It's really not.
Yeah. And that ultimately drains you of energy,
mm-hmm.
of a certain kind of vitality.
Yeah.
So instead of, okay, I don't want to do it, but, you know, if I don't do it now, when will I ever get around to it? I'm in a hotel room. What else is there to do? Watch TV, relax. How long would this call take? Well, not really that long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can talk yourself out of your reasonableness with reasonableness. That is some critical thinking and say, okay, well, I'll just make this one call and then I can, you know, I'll have that off my damn mind and I won't be torturing myself. So if we always stay in our comfort zone, the paradox is we suffer. It seems just opposite. It seems like what we're doing, chasing in life, we're chasing after that ultimate comfort, that everything will just be, I don't know, like a bed of roses and everything will be wonderful and all the clients will just call us begging to do business with us and, you know, that kind of thing. And does that kind of world exist? You might think it exists for me sometimes, but it doesn't. It doesn't. You know, doing some things now are harder than they were 20 years ago for me. A lot harder to get my conversion rate for sales for online marketing is lower than it used to be, for instance. So I have to try a bit harder, things like that. So Nancy, she went blank and muted again, so I don't know where she went. So let's have somebody else. You're in and out, Nancy. In and out of reality. So who else? I'll call on people who have their mic unplugged. So, Roberta, where is your reasonableness barrier?
Oh, that's a really good question. I don't know. I'm not sure at the moment.
Well, you know, a way to look at this is what do we say to ourselves when we think of something? For instance, I notice for myself, I think of something to do, and then I say, oh, I'll do it later. So just, and I'm sincere about that. I actually do intend to do it later. But in that, I slip into a certain comfort zone that increases the chances that I'll forget to do it later. So it's as simple as that. It's not necessarily insidious or evil or bad, or it's just so what I try to do, don't always succeed, is if I think about that, I go to my daily list and just jot it down. Because at the end of the day, when I finished all my calls and I've been on my feet or on my butt and my back is hurting, which happens almost every day to some extent, I won't want to do those little things. Like go into so-and-so's website and add a testimonial for them or whatever. I'm doing a lot of that stuff these days. I think I got to get out of the website design racket. I mean, I sort of got into it again this year, which is, anyway. But I had to do that thing because I made a promise. So I just jotted it down. And so then I have my list is my conscience. And there it is. I said I was going to do it. And my goal every day is, if at all possible, and I don't succeed every day, is to get those little things done. To make that follow-up call, to send that email, to ask that question, to make that apology, I mean, whatever, something. So it's not, but when you avoid doing that thing, whether it's the call or just doing something on the web, it starts to build. And it's sort of like it becomes this gigantic thing, and then guilt and frustration builds up. Is everyone agree? Doesn't that happen with you?
Yeah, in fact, I'm at a place where I'm really aware of all of the things that have built up. You know, it's a bit of a mountain, and so I'm chipping away at it. But
yeah,
I mean, I've got a lot that I'm aware of that has that I've pushed aside and
And then, you know, sometimes you have to look at that list and reevaluate. You know, I'll look at things that I really wanted to do, and given where I am and how much I have to do, it's like, it's just not going to get done now. It's okay. I can be okay with that. I can put it on a long-term list. And other things, I can clear the plate. For instance, I have a pile of folders here for my clients that I have to update the hours working with them, and to do that, I have to go back through my calendar. Now, this never used to happen. I'd have the calendar. I'd have their thing. I'd write it in. I'd stick it away. Why did that back up? I don't know. It's just a little hiccup, and now it's like a little pain in my ass, you know? And so I say I'm going to do it. Just an example. We have stuff like that all the time. But it's those important things, like the follow-up calls, like the reaching out one more time, like developing, you know, fine-tuning that letter so it really reads better. So did I tell you about David Garfinkel, who's my marketing conscience? Did I tell you about him? Yes, no?
No, I think so.
Well, I've known David Garfinkel for, I think over 20 years, maybe longer, long time, long, long time. And he is a copywriter. And he now his business is teaching people to be copywriters. He doesn't do writing, so he's, he coaches people, and he has programs, and they're pretty expensive, and he does fine. But we reconnected a number of months back, and we meet every couple weeks, and we co-coach each other. And here's David Garfinkel, genius marketer, and he has no website to speak of. And his old website that I helped him create, I don't know, 20 years ago or something, is just totally out of date and a piece of junk, completely. So, you know, so we call each other on stuff. You know, David, you need a better website. You're doing these new services. How are you going to communicate them to anybody? You know, this guy is a very successful guy, nevertheless. So he said, Robert, I don't know how to do it. This is how he talks. I just hate doing this stuff. I hate projects. I'm not a project guy. I'm not a follow-through guy. I get a client, I work with him. I said, fine, well, let's do the website anyway. So I point him toward the website toolkit. He did it. I designed it for him. Really simple design. Now he's a website. And then when I write sales letters, he looks at my sales letter, and I want him to say, Robert, this is just genius. What greatness you have here. Fabulous. And he usually says, well, Robert, you know, it's basically a piece of crap. I can't believe that you, with all your marketing experience, could write such dreck. Nobody is interested in this. So it's good to have those kind of people in your life. It really is good to have those people because, you know, when I first showed it to him, he said stuff like that. He says, Robert, I can't even look at it. I know you want to launch it tomorrow. Why did you wait so long? It's not my issue. So you need to put off launching this thing, and then I'll give you feedback. So between that week and the next week they launched it, I rewrote it four times and probably put 15 hours into it. I don't know, maybe less, a lot of time. So thank God I don't have to do that every day. I mean, really, I don't. Some things are a heck of a lot easier than that. But it's like, I want to be serious about promoting this club. My future for the next couple of years is going to be hanging on that to some degree. If I get a lot more people in the club, I can do other things next year that I want to do. And if I don't, I have to do some of the things that I prefer not to do, perhaps. And I think this is important for all of us. It's like, well, we're creating our future. We're setting the foundation. We're fine-tuning things. We're going the whole hog. Or we're diddling around. And so that's being unreasonable with yourself. And at the same time, we can be gentle with ourselves. We don't have to be beating ourselves up. When David gave me that feedback, I decided not to lash out at him, although I was a little defensive. I thought there were some good points in the letter. And he said, no, Robert, you know, the whole first part, I just can't even get past it. You're therapizing people. Stop doing that. He just called me on all this stuff. It was great. So anyway, so I just sucked it up and said, okay. And then I wrote one draft. And then a couple days later, I said, now that sucks. And I wrote another one. And then he looked at that one again. He says, no, it still sucks. And then he did a video showing what was bad. And he's not big at details. He won't say, well, that's it. Not that. He says, this whole first part just makes me want to puke. He says things like that. So my job, given that I do know how to write copy, is so I just removed all that stuff and then just fine-tuned it a bit. And then I looked at it, and then he said, it's 7,535% better. So sometimes it takes that. So it's like I felt confident in putting it out. And now I've sent it out once, and now the job is I've got to send out 3 or 4 follow-up emails to convince people that they're crazy if they don't take advantage of 1 month for $1 to check it out. I mean, how can you lose from that? And it's so hard often to get people to take action. So I know this. You know, it's hard to get people's attention, hard for people to think, this could really help me. Maybe you're the one. Maybe I should check it out. It takes time. It takes some thinking on their part. It takes communicating. And it takes doing it in such a way that they don't take offense, but they're actually entertained by that and interested and, you know, and knowing that still the majority won't take action, but you can still get results. So you get what I'm getting at here? Mm-hmm. Getting at this place of, you know, and sometimes, you know, I can push myself to do things. You know, I wrote the letter to begin with, et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes we simply, we're blind to what we do. And when we're promoting ourselves, even if you've been doing marketing for 30 years, we have blindness to what we do. And everybody tells me that. All my clients tell me that. I can write about other people. Writing about myself is extremely painful. I've got a super smart management and strategy consultant I started to work with a month or two ago. And he says writing this stuff is pure agony for him. Pure agony. And yet, he's writing good stuff. And I'm just saying, hey, keep doing it. This is good. This is not good. Keep doing it. I'm a little gentler than Garfinkel. I think people mostly quit on me if I pull the Garfinkel. But it's a relationship that enables us to do that. So, Sarah, what's the comfort zone that you push against?
Cold calling.
What is it in yourself? See, cold calling is not real. It's real in a sense. It's just a thing that you do. See, this is what cold calling looks like. How hard is that? So what we push against is what our comfort zone is isn't an activity, it's a thought. What do you say to yourself that makes cold calling appear difficult? And why even call it cold calling? Didn't I teach you guys this? These are introductory calls.
Introductory calls. I mean, we can call it that, but...
Well, you know, what you call something doesn't make a difference. You know, there's certain kinds of fish, edible fish, good edible fish, that never sold because they had a terrible name. And so the fisheries people said, the marketing people said to the fisheries people, you should rename this fish. Sure, it still has its scientific name, whatever, but you should rename this fish. So they renamed that fish, and everybody bought the damn fish. But if it's called a mud-sucking grouper, who's going to eat a mud-sucking grouper? Nobody. What if it's called a whatever? I can't remember the name of the fish it was. It's going to be more palatable. So in the same way, if you think, I'm making introductory calls. I'm introducing myself. I'm finding out who they are. I'm sharing what I have. I'm not trying to make a sale. I'm not trying to persuade anybody to buy my services now. And we've had this conversation, haven't we?
We have.
These people need to know what you do, and they're not gonna say, "How dare you call me?" Has that ever happened to you?
No.
So the conversation you're having in your head about cold calls is basically a fantasy. But it's in your comfort zone.
It's in my comfort zone?
Yeah. Your comfort zone is to not call. Mm-hmm. That's the comfort zone.
Yeah.
And see, things like cold calls are bad, blah, 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 all that stuff is part of your comfort zone. It's all very reasonable. See, everybody except me would go, oh, yeah, sure, cold calls are hard. No, it's a waste of time. And I say, hey, have fun with it. Make them introductory calls. Have a game. Try to call or certain number of dials per week or have a goal to reach a certain number of people and just put it out there. And get better at it. You don't want to hear that. We want, sometimes, you know, there's certain kinds of businesses that if we don't do some direct outreach, we're going to wait a heck of a long time. Your business, however, once it has momentum, has the potential for a lot of referral business, mm-hmm. I think. You know, you're on the leading edge. What if somebody else comes into Calgary and knows half of what you do, but isn't afraid to do introductory calls? I hear this all the time. That guy doesn't know what he's doing. How come he's got all the business? Well, he has a different comfort zone than you do. And it's too bad because you're so much better than he is. But the world doesn't care about that. Because it's not their job to find out about you. It should be. Damn it. It should be the job for any time I send out an email for everybody, read it from top to bottom, not once, but twice, consider the proposition carefully, and of course, sign up. That's their job. But that's delusional. So I got to write something that works, and it's hard. Have you put 15 hours into refining your script in the last month or two?
No.
Maybe you have. I mean, and obviously a script isn't quite as hard as a 10-page sales letter, which is quite a feat. So once you know, okay, well, what my comfort zone is about is avoiding making calls. That's what it's about. I think of it. It creates associations that are not pleasant, and I just go with that. Fearful, doubtful, you doubt yourself. People can praise heap on you, but when you think, oh, I just can't reach out, I'm not worth anything, or God knows what else you think. And here's this ultra intelligent, super educated, highly experienced professional just starting her business. Yeah, just how you're sitting is in your comfort zone. It's sort of like, So when this course is all over, and I'm not here to coach you and bug you and inspire you and all that stuff, what are you going to do? You know, some people in this group have passed the threshold. Still, that doesn't mean they don't have resistance, they don't have fears. But Nancy has passed that threshold. Roberta's passed that threshold. Carol, for sure, has passed that threshold. Leanne is passing that threshold. Sharon is hitting her head against that threshold every day. Yeah, you think you're struggling. Talk to Sharon a little bit. Glad to have you on the call, Sharon. Thanks for showing up. So, you know, it's all about, you know, when did that happen for me? I don't know. I think it was the point that I realized, and that was a few years into my business, that I was basically unemployable by anybody else, that I couldn't work for anybody else. I would just die, or I would be fired because I was such a friggin' know-it-all. I didn't like working for other people. I like coaching people and directing people and teaching people. That's what I do. And so I said, I guess, you know, it's 100% up to me. And then, you know, somewhere around that time, I lost my credit because my cash flow wasn't very good. And I didn't have credit for 7 years. It's a long time. And I said, okay, I can't even use credit cards anymore to buffer things. I got to be making the cash every month to pay my rent, to pay my bills, to eat. And I really buckled down. That's when I really started to read a lot about marketing, just absorbed it voraciously, and then tried things and tried things and tried things. That's when, you know, my friend Jeffrey created his website. He was a business colleague. He said, Robert, you got to do this, and you got to do this for your clients. This is what everybody wants now. So I bought a book, and in a week later, literally, I had a website. And I could feel my brain cells expanding as I was reading this cryptic book about how to do it. I mean, it was like, oh, God. But, you know, it takes that sort of reality check that if I don't do this thing, it is never going to happen. Never going to happen. And for me, it's more like this product or program is never going to happen. The beginning is, am I going to be on the street or work for someone that I don't want to at a wage that isn't good enough and just sort of settle for that? Where am I going to say, okay, I got the talent, I've got the smarts, I've got the persistence. I'm gonna find a way to make it happen. And along the way, there was a lot of bumps and a lot of triumphs. Until the triumphs started to outpace the bumps. You know, greatest day in my business or week in my business when I launched the InfoGuru marketing manual. You know, I was lucky. I was there at the right time. I'd grown my list. But I put ridiculous amounts of time into writing that, fine-tuning it and getting it proofed and blah, 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 and then launching it. Took me a long time, but it paid off. That's what happens. That's when people like Carol start to really think about their marketing and put on a class, and all of a sudden her business explodes. She can hardly fit in any more clients. Carol, how many clients are you working with right now?
20 this week.
And I could have more, you know, next week. I only have 24 slots total, and that's really after we're done, because yes, I'm taking up one slot for the class. So, but I'm usually, I would be between, anywhere between like, more like 8 and 15, you know, would be more typical. So, yeah. 20 to 24 is a lot, yeah. It's a big difference.
You know, and Carol doesn't, she's not exactly on easy street. I mean, things aren't perfect in her life. She had a kitchen remodeler, was a kitchen remodeler. Basically,
yeah.
This is her kitchen, and then wouldn't finish it, and then he sued her and her husband for. And have you won the court case yet, or is it still pending?
It's still pending. After the arbitration got interrupted by the medical emergency, we haven't heard a thing since. We don't even have a date, so it's still.
Your cell kitchen is incomplete.
Well, the kitchen's complete. We had some more renovation done, and so we had a room built on, and that room isn't complete. So at least our kitchen is operational. That I couldn't handle for 2 years. I would have lost my mind a long time ago.
But I had some conversations about, yeah, you have no idea how much time and energy and stuff, that kind of thing sucks out of you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I didn't notice that you had one big breakthrough this year, but it was, you're really the poster girl for friendly persistence. You really are. And she was reminding me last night, hey, can you change those bullet points on my site? Because I can't do it. And I did it.
Yeah, that website, it's a pain. It really is. And my husband was working on it too. And between the two of you, hopefully, oh, I know this isn't the time for it, but that page, that second link that would take people after they pay to go to the form, that's gone now. I don't know what happened to it.
Well, I took it off of the menu, but it's still there.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't want it to be on the menu. I didn't know how to do that, and I had to figure out how to take it off the damn menu, and that took me God knows how long. But it's like, you know, you put it as a draft, and then it doesn't show up on the menu. But it's there. If you put the URL, it'll show up. I tested it many times.
Thank you. Well, you know what I was doing, like, past my comfort zone. Last night when I wanted to go to bed, you know, I was having trouble with, you know, I was supposed to have my email go out this morning at 6 a.m. to launch the workshop, but I decided not to do it because I was having a lot of issues getting the formatting right, which I couldn't understand because the first two emails, I didn't have issues. It was going pretty well. So I don't know what I did wrong this time. So I went back to watch the video you made of doing the AWeber. But by the time I was done with that, I was, you know, it was way too late for me to start. But at least I watched it and it helped me. And I did realize I had gone in at a different place in the website to do my my draft. So I think I know what happened. So anyway, just like pushing yourself to stay up and to, you know, do more than you really care to do. Because I love sleep. I love my sleep. I don't like staying up till 1 a.m. working.
Yeah. And, you know, don't mistake this for me saying, okay, you've got to always stay up late. But sometimes you've got to go the extra mile. So when are you going to send this damn thing out?
Tomorrow. I want it to go out at 6 a.m. because I noticed with the AWeber, you see stats of when people open their email, and there is a spike at around 7-8 o'clock. So I want it to be in their box first thing. Yeah. So I'm going to work on it today. I'm confident it will work out okay. Plus, I wasn't sure about the website and if that was all going to be settled by this morning. So I thought it's better to wait a day, make sure all my ducks are in a row, and I'll send it out for tomorrow morning.
Okay. And then endless reminders.
Yeah, I mean, I already have them all written, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better than me. I don't have all my reminders written. So you're ahead of me.
I'm ahead of you. I'm ahead of you because you told me to make sure they were all written. I'm just listening. You need to follow your own advice.
Well, the thing is, I don't have a problem writing them. It's not such a struggle. So, you know, if I tell a client, oh, just wait the day before, that's not good advice.
That's true. You know. That's not good for me. I needed to have them all written before I sent the first one out. Yeah.
So I'm writing one site and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's stick-to-itiveness. Now, look, we all have different backgrounds. We all have different histories. We all have different kinds of resistance. So I'm not saying that Carol is a model, although she is inspiring to me. I mean, but you shouldn't try to be like Carol and necessarily. The thing is, the question I asked is, what is your comfort zone that you have to push past, wherever it is? It can be, you know, down, I've got to see my picture to see my hand. It can be down here or it can be up here, right? So you're still, it's a comfort zone. And the step past that comfort zone is, it's a place where you might say your real self reveals itself. Another way of saying it is that's a place where creativity really kicks in. Or another, it's you're in the flow of things. See, there can't be any flow in the comfort zone. It's okay to rest. It's okay to renew yourself. But if we're playing the game of business or life in the comfort zone, there is no flow. What's the opposite of flow? Come on, this is just a word. What's the opposite of flow? Stuck or stagnant, right? So that's why I talk about unstuckness. Unstuckness is about getting into the flow. And it's not about getting into the flow totally in terms of actions. It's about getting into the flow of yourself. You know, what is something that you do naturally in life where you're really in the flow? And almost everybody in business has this. And for most people, it is not in marketing, I admit. But where are you in flow, Carol, every day? I'm not saying every minute of every day, but when are you in flow?
Well, hopefully during a lot of my sessions.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. It's hopefully, not always. There's some that don't go very well, but that's most of the time they do.
Yeah. See, I'm in my flow when I'm talking to you guys, when I'm having conversations like this, when I'm teaching, when I'm coaching, when I'm just in my flow. I saw a video by a guy. I want to go back and I should make note. I got to watch his other videos because I liked it a lot. It was about how to just be authentic in your marketing. He does these 2-day workshops where he does no preparation. He's just in the flow all the time. He brings up stories and things, and he's just in the flow, and it works extremely well, which is, I said, wow, that guy's got a lot of guts to do something like that. Obviously, he knows his stuff. He's not just making it up. He's worked on this for a long time, but he's in his flow. So, Roberta, when are you in your flow?
Well, certainly with clients, but also when I'm, when I'm writing, when I'm putting things in writing. The other day I was clarifying some material for a client about what his real strengths are and how we're going to articulate that in terms of his services. And, you know, I sat there for an hour and it was just really easy. I mean, it just is what I do well. So that's writing is one place.
Yeah. Good. Me too.
Yeah.
That's why I like Mondays. I get to write on Mondays. Usually never knowing what I'm going to write. Oliver, when are you in flow? Hey, and by the way, before that, you know, Oliver was in flow in terms of, we're going to move to Arizona and we're going to find a place. Do y'all know he bought a house?
No.
Just, well, he said, you know, it's going to take a while to do this house search, and then we'll blah, blah, blah. And the next time we talk to him, oh, we bought the house.
Is it? That's because I'm a butthead at times. But anyway.
So when you want something, Oliver, you're in flow.
This is true. This is true. I think the last time in the business that I really remember being in flow, so I had a workshop for about 50 people. And it was 2 hours from my house that I arrived, and I realized I forgot my laptop with the PowerPoint and everything else. So here I am, and the president of the company is there, and I'm going, oh, shit, now what? And it was a great session, you know, 7 hours of really good stuff. And I thought, okay, so it's not in the laptop. It's not written down. It's up here. And it was really good. I got a lot more business out of that thing, too. So it wasn't just in my mind.
So, yeah, well, that accident might have been a fortuitous event. I mean, see, following an outline slavishly is being in a certain comfort zone. And I'm not saying you should never follow a presentation, but it can be like a crutch, right? Like,
that really is a crutch. I mean, it's all laid out, and it's brainless, and there's no fear of making a mistake. But really, how much of the real good stuff is coming out if you're just following, you know, a script?
So, yeah.
Yeah, so there we go.
So I know you're still struggling a little bit to make the calls, to reach out, to get the referrals.
I kind of figured out what it is, too. And part of it is I'm really fighting picking up too much business. I realize that. If I talk to people, I typically find business.
I really got that. I understand that. I have that too. It's true. Sometimes. I mean, that didn't used to be the case.
Yeah, well, that would be either.
But, you know, you can turn this damn spigot off after you've got your 4 or 5 clients. So you're sort of, you're kind of second guessing yourself and thinking in the future too much instead of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have all the reasons, Tom Pat. I mean, I could list them.
Yeah.
And just it's just a question of doing it. And then when I get there, it's like, okay, now I'm overwhelmed. Stop. But let's not stop before we get there.
All those reasons, all those excuses, where do they exist?
The brain someplace. I don't know. I think part of it goes way back when I was a cold calling fool.
Now, wait a sec. There's one answer to this. It's our theme for today.
Stuckness or in our heads.
In our comfort zone.
Yeah, comfort zone.
So I want you to take that on as kind of a model to use and think from. It's sort of like I'm either in my comfort zone or I'm in flow. Now, we could argue that and parse it and everything, and it wouldn't be necessarily exact, but it's a model. It's a model of thinking, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm saying, at least when it comes to achieving something, you know, some people, when they're on vacation at the beach, when they're sunning they're in a certain kind of flow there, and that's cool. You know, but we're not talking about that. So we're talking about in the comfort zone. And so let's, what are some of the qualities of the comfort zone? Just to sort of review. Unmute yourself and shout them out.
Peaceful?
No. You're agitated in the comfort zone. You're peaceful when you're in flow. So I want to make a real distinction about this. When you're flow, you're just focused, you're doing it, you're making it happen, you're communicating, whatever, you're writing. When you're in your comfort zone, so what are some of the qualities of the comfort zone?
So what you're saying, you're referring to comfort zone as that time when you're feeling anxious that you're not doing what you should be doing or what you could be doing?
That's part of it, yeah. See, when you're in the comfort zone,
So it doesn't seem like comfort may be the right word for that zone.
Well, it is, though.
It's.
See, it's comfortable because it's familiar.
Well, then familiar zone might be better.
See, why do abused wives stay with their husbands?
Yeah.
It's because it's more comfortable to be abused once in a while than be on your own, not having a job. I mean, it's very, to part from your spouse when he's the sole breadwinner. We said, why don't they leave? Well, it's very, very hard. So they're in a certain comfort zone. I don't say a comfort zone is bad. We're just trying to define what it is and see when we are in it, when we're immersed in it, when we're enveloped by it. You know, and we'll have times in the day where we're in our comfort zone a bit, and then we'll be in flow. But then regarding certain activities that we were particularly resistant about, we are in a particular comfort zone. And that comfort zone is, in a way, not comfortable. It's the uncomfortable comfort zone. But it's a survival mechanism, because if we go outside of that and we start making calls and risking things, see, risk is outside of the comfort zone, right? We might fail, or as Oliver said, heck, we might succeed. And that's uncomfortable. Or that's scary. So better to just keep it within. So, see, all of this is very mechanical, isn't it? It's all very conditioned from God knows when. See, what's so awful about reaching out is the potential of rejection, right? Wouldn't everybody agree with that? It's the potential of rejection. And so within that bubble of our comfort zone, called fear of rejection in this case, it's a breeding ground for disempowering thoughts. Right, Sarah?
Yeah.
Sarah's going, oh, yeah.
Yeah, like that's what I would say. The comfort zone is all about feeling powerless and feeling like I can't do anything, or I'm stuck, or I can't move forward, or I won't make it. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
When I keep doing the things I've always done, when I keep acting, yeah. When I refuse to, yeah. Those are the thoughts, I think, the powerlessness.
Exactly. So that is a characteristic of the comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So that's going on. See, we very rarely step aside and go, oh, I'm in my comfort zone. It doesn't seem like that, but that's what I'm pointing to. Mm-hmm. That's a comfort zone. So what would the uncomfort zone be? Well, that would be a place of risk. It would be a place of discovery. It would be a place of work. And if you look at the happiest moments of your life, were they inside the comfort zone or outside the comfort zone?
Outside.
Outside the comfort zone. Ever been on a roller coaster?
Yeah.
That puts you out of your comfort zone. You have zero control. And the thing is, I went with my little niece this summer onto the roller coaster in Santa Cruz, which is insanely terrifying. The very first thing you do is you go into a completely black tunnel, and then it goes in and it goes inside the tunnel, and you know I'm dead. And then it goes straight up, and then it goes straight down at a million miles an hour, and then it takes a curve. That's outside the comfort zone. It's very enlivening, but it's not comfortable at all. And you just have to keep thinking, nobody dies on this. It's really rare. I'll probably survive. Same thing you have to say when you're making calls. Okay. Did anybody ever die of making introductory calls? Can you point to anybody? Do you know people that you went to the grave? Made introductory calls, died of fear. You got to poke fun at your comfort zone. Your comfort zone is hysterical in so many ways. It's just all this flurry of self-protected thoughts and all this crap. That's a characteristic of the comfort zone. Is the comfort zone sane? Really? It's kind of insane. It's self-referential fearful thoughts repeating themselves over and over again. Right, Carol? You're the therapist. You see this with people all the time, right? Now, you might not be using this language with you're doing whatever you're doing, but I just find this whole conversation about the comfort zone or the flow zone, you might call it, is a really useful distinction. Because if it's, you know, we sort of think, okay, the key to success is just keep moving one step forward, keep working hard, blah, blah, blah. But we fail to see sometimes we're doing that still within a certain comfort zone. And we don't feel very challenged. And so what are some other characteristics of the comfort zone? I want you to look and see so we can, so when you're there, you can be, you can notice it.
I'm going to have to leave in a minute. Okay. But I would say being unfocused.
Unfocused, right.
You know, you're thinking about everything else, you know, whatever else you can distract yourself with, except the thing that you really need to be working on.
Yeah, everything else. You know, Facebook is one of those things.
Oh.
I'll just go to Facebook. Oh, half an hour later, I've been chatting about nothing. It was very comfortable.
Waste of time.
Instagram is even worse, actually. You can just look at mindless pictures forever.
Yeah, I haven't been sucked into Instagram yet. So, Leanne, what are some characteristics of the comfort zone for you in your experience?
Yeah, so unfocused or focused on the wrong things, right? There are a lot of little things that can fill up. You know, I have this conversation all the time with clients. It's like the parable about the vase, right? That you have to put the big stones in first and then fill it up with the sand. Maybe it's important to have both to filter the water, but you got to have room for the big stones. You fill it all up with those little grains of sand first. You never get anywhere. You never get those big things accomplished.
Yeah. So when we're in our comfort zone, we're lifting small stones, not big stones. We're not prioritizing really well.
Right. It's about prioritizing.
Because we're doing comfortable, easy things when we're in the comfort zone. That's the characteristic.
And they may very well be things that need to be done, right? It's just that, so, like, kind of like you were saying, is like, boy, it's easier to do this, so... than the stuff that really needs to.
Yeah.
It's the stuff that is going to make a big difference that doesn't happen. It's not even like they're necessarily hard, like you're talking about with calls or whatever. It's not that it's physically hard or whatever. It just gets left behind.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm going to call on you sooner or later, Sharon. What's some qualities of the comfort zone when you're in your comfort zone? The comfort zone that doesn't seem like a comfort zone.
I think it's, I get the sort of almost a spacey thing, kind of like zoned out when I'm doing that. I don't know if it's a comfort zone, it's an escape zone or something. I really like the kind of low priority stuff, because it's important but not essential stuff that's getting done. It's kind of
well, it's comfortable.
No, because it's dishes. I hate dishes. Not comfortable.
Well, it's still more, doing the dishes is still more comfortable.
Yeah, I can get fairly high anxiety when I try to do the other stuff.
Yeah,
like there's flow. I like flow. That's a good space to be. And then it's, there's a panic that happens when I'm trying to do the things that I need to do in order to move forward.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fear there.
Yeah.
Nice thing about the comfort zone is it's the anxiety goes away short term. Then every now and then I get massive panic attacks because I'm not doing the right thing and the other stuff is, you know, falling behind.
Yeah. So it becomes habitual. You know, if nothing else, the comfort zone is conditioned, it's habitual, it's familiar, and all that stuff swirls around within the comfort zone. and it seems inescapable. So, you know, this is why I keep pointing back to the getting unstuck process, or any question in the getting unstuck process. So sometimes when I'm stuck, I'll just ask the question, who would I be without that belief right now? Who would I be without that stuckness right now? Who would I be outside of my comfort zone? Those questions are powerful and multi-purpose. You could say, the question of is, what am I getting out of staying in my comfort zone? That's kind of self-referential. What are you getting out of staying in your comfort zone, everybody? This is sort of like asking who's buried in Grant's tomb.
Well, for me, I tell you what I get. It makes my introvert happy.
Yes.
It's the truth. I mean, I like to have time for myself.
Yeah. I can relate to that totally. Totally. So that's why I joined the BCBA, so I'd go and actually talk to real people. Last night I went to the BCBA and we talked about a 0.5% tax increase for roads, and our local supervisor talked. And I loved it. It was great just being out there talking to people, not being an introvert. You know? So the comfort zone feeds the comfort zone. So what we're getting out of it, what the benefit is, or what the payoff is, as I use in my process, the payoff is simply more comfort. It's like in the morning, you know, I'm not someone that likes to bound out of bed in the morning. I just want to sleep more. I would prefer in the morning to sleep forever. That's pretty much my preferred mode. I don't know if that's true for you. And if you've been to bed at 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning, it's really the case. But, you know, ultimately I get up and I'm here in time for my calls. I always find time to stretch, et cetera, et cetera. So I have to, you know, we have to get out of our comfort zone a little bit just to survive, right? But we want to do more than survive. We want to thrive. And there is no thriving long-term in the comfort zone. So you can have your comfort zone every night. You go to sleep, it's the most comfortable. You can have dreams, it's great. You can watch some TV at night, great. That's comfortable. Look, my comfort zone is watching action movies, especially if they're sci-fi action movies. Love it, but not during the day when I'm working. Or sometimes my comfort zone is I'm avoiding things. I'll start doing my music hobby thing, not just listening to music. I start to search for music and I start to organize music and I can just use up time. Very comfortable. Great as a hobby, but not good as a work diversion. Very bad. Because I'm not doing things I need to do. So what are some other characteristics of that comfort zone? You want to get to know this comfort zone like you get to know, you know, somebody else.
Well, I'll jump in. One thing I was just thinking about is that comfort zone is so familiar that it's hard to even remember it. Like, it's kind of boring. It's kind of like when I look back at my life, I'm not remembering those moments. Those are not the key moments.
No. Because you weren't really there. There's no real intentionality in a comfort zone. That's another quality. So I wanted you to look at these different answers. No intentionality.
Yeah.
No creativity. You know, sometimes, you know, a few minutes before I write my e-zine, I sort of go into just open to the universe, what ideas, what have I been thinking about, what would be a good topic today? And I'm just open to receive. That's not the comfort zone. That's something different. Because I'm looking for something. I'm not avoiding anything. And usually within minutes, an idea comes and I start writing. But when you're in the comfort zone and you're not writing, you're just doing anything else. You're washing the dishes or you're doing your jazz hobby or you're just, you know. Another quality is what I call basic avoidance behavior. So I have a saying, maybe I haven't told you guys, you always know someone's having trouble with their marketing if they have a really clean desk.
No problem here.
I actually like to clean up my desk at the end of every day, but sometimes it's chaos. And if it's chaos and I don't notice it, I know I'm getting stuff done. But if I'm spending all my time organizing things, that's basic avoidance behavior. You know, okay, this is confession time. What is your favorite basic avoidance behavior?
Netflix.
Really? In the middle of the day?
No.
Okay, look, you're on vacation after 5 or 6 o'clock. That's okay for most days.
Every once in a while, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll watch something. That's an avoidance behavior. I don't want to do something. So 2 or 3, I'll watch, you know, an hour or so.
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah. Sometimes during the day.
Yeah. Okay.
See if there's a program and I've been, what do they call it when you watch it all the time? You know, what's it? I can't remember what it's called when you watch one right after another. I'll get caught up in some show.
Oh, a series?
Yeah, and I'll just keep watching them. And then all of a sudden, I'm so interested that 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I have to watch one.
Yeah, binge watching.
Binge. Yeah, I'll binge.
Yeah, there's a lot of good shows out now. It's not just episodic. It's 10 or 20 episodes, and it's all one story, like a very long movie.
So
they really know how to grab you.
That's one of mine.
Yeah.
Avoidance.
Okay.
You want more? Is that what you're asking?
Well, let's hear one from everybody. Nancy?
When you say favorite, I'm not sure if this qualifies, but it is what I do is like laundry and cleaning the kitchen. You know, like cleaning because it needs to be done. But if it were the sand instead of the big stones, that would be better.
Right. So then the question is, okay, so I'm sometimes like that. Won't do a certain thing until my space is cleared, until certain little things are done. Then I have space, which is fine to some degree. So the thing is you can do that cleaning, but well, I've done this thing. All of a sudden, I don't just do cleaning. I get into a project. I'm a project guy. So what's a project? All of a sudden, I find all the things in my kitchen, one of my kitchen cabinets, on the counter because I saw some moths, and now I'm on a moth-killing expedition. Yeah, better to be done on a Saturday or maybe an evening. It's sort of like, I can't tolerate that there's moths, and then I find that they're in the rice or God knows what else. And, you know, that's a certain comfort zone. I get to clean up. Cleaning up is definitely part of my comfort zone, my basic avoidance behavior for more important things. Okay, who else?
I find I start a lot of projects. So it's a part of that unfocused thing. I rarely complete things, but I will definitely start a big cleaning project or start a big organizing project or start something else.
Yeah.
I start a lot.
Yeah. So that's your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some people are creators, some people are maintainers, some people are completers. That is, they feel they're better at one or the other, but you know, you got to have all three or nothing happens. You've got to find out a way to maintain. You know, one of the things that Nancy did is she got an assistant that could help her with some of those things. She could offload those. Now, not everybody's in that situation that they can do that or afford that, but it's been helpful. And then learning how to do that better so that you can really trust somebody to do a certain thing. So I've started this project now. You know, I did this, I have an assistant I use once in a while, and she looked through the whole club, and I said, I wanted you to find any broken links. Look at every single link, and there's hundreds of them. That's a waste of time for me. Yeah. My hourly rate is a lot lower than her hourly rate, so.
I hope it's a lot higher.
Yeah.
It's quite a lot higher. And she sometimes takes a long time to do these things, but, you know, it's better than me trying to do it. Some things I got to do, but she can do that. And then I go in and fix them in a few minutes when she's found them. That's easy. Okay, so Sarah, who else has spoken up? Oliver, what's your basic avoidance behavior?
Oh, I read trash on Kindle. Any kind of trash, but usually Louis L'Amour or something like that.
In the middle of your work day?
No. In the evening.
Okay. Gosh, you're not getting it. I made clear instructions here. This is basic avoidance behavior that's taking you away from purposeful work, like doing introductory calls, writing marketing materials.
Oh, I'll take a nap.
Ah.
Naps are good.
Yeah, I'll take a nap.
I've got somebody solving a problem for me.
You have to leave?
Yeah,
you have to go?
I've got somebody here.
Okay, well, we're almost ready to wrap up anyway. So thanks for attending. Watch your comfort zone. Where are you, Oliver?
I'm here. I guess something happened to my video. I'll take a nap. I go, screw it. I don't want to deal with this right now. Let me take 40 winks. So I'll sleep for 20 minutes. And then I'll wake up. I'll do something else.
So, you know, you're over 70, right?
No.
You're
not yet.
You're 60 what?
68.
Okay, you qualify.
I'm actually very lucky to be 68.
Right. I know that. But after the age of 65, you get a waiver from whatever, and it's okay to take naps once in a while. Naps can be revitalizing, or they can be avoidance. But sometimes I have found myself so exhausted that doing one more thing is stupid because I just can't think and I'm just exhausted and I'm not enjoying myself. And, you know, and this will happen. We stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I think to your point, and my nap taking is not from exhaustion, it's avoidance.
Okay, so thanks for being honest.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's real easy. It's real easy. Shut things out and go to sleep.
Yeah, so your edge, we're going to talk about this in the last thing, your edge is to find a way to transition from basic avoidance behavior to taking action on something important right now.
Yeah.
It's an act of will. It's an act of commitment. It's not easy because the comfort zone is comfortable. It doesn't make sense to our survival mechanisms to do that. It doesn't make sense. What makes sense is to stay more comfortable.
Yep.
So the other thing, you know, in terms of the unstuck process, this is why sometimes going through the whole process seriously helps, is what is the cost of avoidance? What's the cost of stuckness? What's the cost of delay? What's the cost of excuses? What's the cost of your mind blabbering on? We know what the payoff is. It's just more comfort. It's avoiding any discomfort. But the payoff, see, if those don't shift, nothing will change. Either we realize the cost is too high, it's so high that we've got to take action, or we realize that the payoff is so worthless that it's just we just can't fool ourselves anymore. We can't keep going with the litany of, I don't like to make cold calls. It's just, we call us on ourselves, like our inner David Garfinkel. Robert, that's crap. That got me out of my comfort zone pretty fast. And the cost is, if I don't get this going, I won't have as many people in the club as I want. It's a goal that I have. I'm going for it. It's important for me. So I'm always struggling with this stuff. And the bigger projects you take on, the more we want to zip into the comfort zone. So where are you right now?
I'm at the office.
No, in your head.
Oh, in my head? I'm listening. I know it. I guess I know, and I feel like I keep hearing this. So this whole discussion we've been having about being in your flow, I feel like from several areas of my life, I've heard this consistent message about stepping out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Coming to me from different places.
Yeah. The thing we're trying to get to is to make it as real as possible for you. That's why we're looking for characteristics. Mm-hmm. So when that, you're doing that, you're going to catch yourself. Oh, there I am. I'm playing the comfort zone game, or I'm in my comfort zone, or I'm lost in my comfort zone.
Absolutely.
So that we stop. We can't lie about it anymore. After a while, see, remember I started the talk with what's reasonable and unreasonable. The comfort zone is ultimately reasonable. It really mm-hmm. is reasonable. It's really easy to argue ourselves back into it over and over and over. And, you know, some people in some areas of their lives stay in a certain comfort zone for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And they are, I wouldn't call them very life happy people.
Miserable. You know? Yeah. I know somebody like that who's just miserable but keeps doing the same thing.
Yeah. And we all have our levels of misery. You know, not reaching out after a while can get pretty miserable. It's like, man, I'm just not making it happen in my business. I've got all this. I've done all this work. I've paid Robert all this money for this coaching. I've agreed to do certain things. And here I am again. Okay, what's the little step? Ask the question, who would I be outside my comfort zone? Can I imagine that? Could I step into the flow? Is what I'm thinking right now true? No, it's a lie. That's another aspect of the comfort zone. It's all lies. It's all deceptions and half-truths and reasonable excuses. It's all BS. You know, sometimes I just get going. It's like I can say, okay, after 5 o'clock, I can rest today. It's okay. I can rest. It's okay to rest. But I don't want to be in my comfort zone much during the day. I want to be on the edge. I want to be playing the game. I'm on the field. I've got guys here today replacing my windows. And, you know, they're having such a great time and they love what they do. One guy's been in this business for 23 years and figuring out how to put the window in. And we've got a sliding glass door that's off by 2 inches level. And, you know, when he's talking about it, it's like a fun challenge to him to figure out how to do it. Those guys are in the flow right now. And then they'll, you know, take off and do something later today. It's great to have them here. They're in the flow making it happen. Now, I came in, they were sitting around and drinking beer and cracking jokes. That's not a comfort zone I really want to pay for, right? Although I'm not paying by the hour, I'm paying by the job. So, you know, what does it take? What does it take? And, you know, this is why I think inquiry is your most powerful tool. Not crazy willpower, just inquiry, looking at what's going on and seeing that it's not serving you. Look what's possible outside of that and imagine what's possible and see that instead. Look at how much it costs, what the payoff is. Asking yourself the Dr. Phil question. Do you all know what the Dr. Phil question is?
Is that working for you?
Is this working for you? Is this working for me right now? No. And then you say, I don't care. I'm comfortable. And then you say, okay, but it's not working. Could you try a little thing that's working? How about that little tiny thing on your list that you've been resisting for a week? Maybe just that. And all of a sudden you start doing it, and all of a sudden you find yourself in flow. You're out of the comfort zone. You're actually taking proactive steps. But it starts with inquiry. Where am I right now? Oh, I'm zoned out. Some are easy to snap out of. Some are like deep hypnotic trances. Seriously, deep hypnotic trances. That is a characteristic of a comfort zone. So, did I all make you a little bit uncomfortable today? Sharon, nod your head. No, she's not. She's going this way. You're supposed to say, yes, you did. No. Are we talking later today, Sharon?
Yeah, I think at 4.
4 your time, 1 my time, right?
Yeah, because you need to, I think what you said was you need to go and have a couple of drinks after our group call and detox or something.
Yeah, mainline some drugs or something like that. Actually, I said, I can do it at, I can do it at noon Pacific, 3 year time.
I will be in a car picking a child up from school.
Okay. So after the child, what time?
Yeah, then? So I'll be back at 3:30. I pick her up at 3.
Okay. So
and then I'll be back at 3:30. So that's what, 12:30?
Yeah. Okay, I'll be online with you at 12:30.
Great. Okay, I even have something I want to talk about.
What's that?
I even have something to talk about.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Not unstuck, though.
Okay, let's work on it. Okay, guys, thank you, everybody. Thanks for your attention and your patience and your participation. And really think about this one this week, okay?
So, Robert?
Yeah.
I'm feeling like, I was feeling kind of like I'm the only insane person who gets stuck in this place, so it's helpful to know I'm not.
Yeah, thank you. No, this is the default condition for most human beings.
I feel very, when you talk about deep hypnotic trance, and I've been there where I look at the clock and it's like, oh crap, where did those last 3 hours go? I didn't do anything. What the, you know, is going on? And it feels kind of like I'm crazy. Like, how did I lose my mind for 3 hours? I haven't done anything. Where did it go?
Yeah.
It's scary.
So the only thing I would say about that is, as a fellow parent, is that we do a lot more than we think we do. It's just that, you know, all that stuff's got to happen. We just don't count it.
But I'll block time aside for marketing. And I'll get all the other stuff aside. I'll sit down at my computer. Oh, well, I have to check an email because I'm expecting something. And then suddenly it's 3 hours later. And it's like, well, how did that happen? I don't understand how it happens.
So that's your avoidance technique. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just this leads to that leads to this. And oh, somebody needs this. And I registered a website and did a domain and ordered a messenger bag. I mean, I did a whole bunch of stuff for a volunteer group that we just started yesterday, this morning. That's great, but that wasn't what I was supposed to be doing.
You could have fit it in later, later tonight or something, a lot of it. So, yeah.
So, yeah, I got it done, but that wasn't what I needed to get done.
Put up your hands if everyone can relate to what Sharon is saying. We've all been there. Some of us just have the disease a little more than others sometimes. Yeah, we all have it. I have it. Everybody has it. The most enlightened people in the world have it. They just have it a little less. They've worked on it. They're sick and tired of always being in their comfort zone. They want to be on the edge. They want to be alive.
Yeah, I need a new name for that comfort zone. It's not comfortable. But it's certainly a zone.
Okay, we'll call it the dead zone. How about that?
I like that better. Zombie zone.
Dead zone. Mm-hmm. That's a little more in your face, but it's just as accurate. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Talk to you. I'm gonna go grab a kid.
Okay, guys. Talk to you in a couple of weeks. Bye bye.